see how that plays out next week, and so we may have to make some changes there, but just remind you of that next Sunday. All right, John chapter 15. Jesus in chapter 14, you remember everything revolved around that one statement, let not your heart be troubled. And so all of chapter 14, all he's been doing is talking to his disciples and telling them why their heart shouldn't be troubled. He's been reminding them of his presence, of the Spirit, of prayer, of the work he was going to do through them. And he gets to the end of chapter 14, and we get there, and Jesus tells his disciples, all right, let's go. And so they, the chapter 15, what we believe is happening is that they are, now they are walking to Gethsemane, that they are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's some debate really about why or what it is that Jesus actually begins to talk to them, or why he begins to talk to them about the true vine and what he is referring to as he mentions the true vine. Again, they could have very well been walking through a vineyard. They could have been walking through or by a vineyard. Some believe that what was going on was that while they were there, or as they traveled, that they passed by the temple. And Herod had decorated the temple with a large kind of part of the decoration of it was a gold vine, a grapevine that he had on the temple there. And so that perhaps the moonlight shone on the vine. But as they were going along, for whatever reason, Jesus begins this discourse, the seventh of his I am statements. And he says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. And he's going to go on now and elaborate some on that statement of him being the vine and you and I being the branches off of the vine. And I want to speak to you this morning on this topic, on the fruitful follower. This text had to be very careful because some take this text and use this as a text to explain or to defend their position that a person can lose their salvation. However, that contradicts the rest of the Bible, and it doesn't match what Jesus is talking about here in this. What Jesus, I think, was doing here was, again, they're walking to Gethsemane, and so he knows he is about to leave those disciples. He knows the events that are coming about. And so these disciples are going to need some real encouragement. They're going to need some real strength to carry on the mission that he is placing in their hands. And so chapter 14, he told them, gave them all kinds of comfort. You know, don't be worried. Don't let your heart be troubled. And now as they start walking towards Gethsemane, he changes his message just a bit from let not your heart be troubled to all right, get close to God, let's go get him. That's kind of the change of the message here. Now that I've spent this time in the upper room calming you down and settling your nerves, now I'm telling you it's time to attack. You've got a major mission ahead of you. You're going to be the impetus. You're going to be the foundation of the New Testament church. You're going to literally be attacking the gates of hell. You're going to be going against Satan to establish the church. You're going to need to be very close to God. And so he uses the image of a grapevine and talks about how the grapevine bears fruit, but only it can only bear fruit when it is attached and drawing sustenance and life from the vine itself. That the branches will bear fruit, but they must be attached back to the original vine. And so as we look at this text this morning, I want you to see three things that we learn in this text about being the vines, being the branches off of the vine and bearing fruit. This passage again is all about you and I as believers bearing fruit, being holy, being righteous, growing in our faith, growing closer to the Lord, walking more according to His will. All of those phrases that we use, this is what Jesus is talking about here. And probably as much as ever, as much as even with the disciples, you and I in this world, we need to understand the importance as branches of our relationship to the vine so that we bear fruit in a evil, rotten world. As much as ever, bearing fruit and being holy and being righteous in our time, in our world, is as difficult, as complicated as it has ever been. And so it is imperative that we understand the lesson here, the message that is revealed to us by the branch, the vines, the fruit that they bear. And there's three things that I want you to see from this text about the vine, the branch, and again, just to be sure you understand, you and I, and I know I'm going to do it, I get sometimes my tongue gets ahead of my brain, and I'll call us the vine, but the Bible tells us very clearly that Christ is the vine, and so ignore me if I say we are the vine. We are the branches that are attached to the vine. And there's some lessons we learn about the branches that are extremely important. One of them, in verse 5, first of all, we learn about the requirements for the branch. There are some requirements here that are necessary for the branch. Look in verse 5 where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the first thing I want to point out to you about the branches is kind of a multi-faceted point here. The requirement of the vine, or of the branches. We are required. Notice something he says, again, he says that there are no fruit without the branches. The vine needs the branches. You understand that this morning? That is a, I hope, for you, a transformational thought. I hope that is a life-altering, life-changing thought to understand what Jesus said in that statement. He said, the branches bear the fruit. He is the vine, but the branches bear the fruit. Well, who did he say were the branches? You and I. So what does he say? He doesn't say the vine bears the fruit. Who's the vine? He's the vine. The branches bear the fruit. Who's the branches? You and I. If there is going to be any fruit, then you and I have to bear the fruit. You and I are what brings about the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is you and I that does the work, does the labor here in this earth. Certainly, don't misunderstand, we have the assistance, we have the guidance, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But you and I, the task lies on us. Again, remember the context. He was talking to the disciples, and he was about to be crucified, and he would be ascending back to his Father. And so he says to those disciples, listen, you are the branches. I'm leaving. The work that needs to be done, the church that needs to be planted, the gospel that needs to be preached, he said, that falls on your shoulders. That falls, that's your responsibility. That's your job. That is your area of expertise now. I have come, I am the vine, but you are the branches, and it is required of you to bear fruit. If there's going to be fruit of the gospel, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be expanded, if it's going to grow, if people are going to know Christ, it is because the branches do their job. It is because the branches fulfill their task. Again, we could go and we could look at numerous passages. We could look at the Great Commission when we're told to go. We're assigned the task of going and preaching the gospel into the highways and the hedges. We have the responsibility. It is required of us to go out and to proclaim and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can take and fly over Kannapolis with an airplane and throw out cases of Bibles and be hitting people in the head with them. But if, as the eunuch said, as Philip comes up to him, the eunuch's reading along, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You remember what the eunuch said? The eunuch said, "How can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. How can I? Unless somebody makes it clear to me." Listen, we have an assignment to bear fruit. Jesus says that is our task. We pray sometimes, "Lord, do this, Lord, do that." You know how the Lord does things? Through you. Through me. Exactly. He works through His people. Listen, we look around and this may offend some, but that's all right too. We look around and we see the state of our society. We see the state of our world, and we're like, "Lord, do something. Lord, intervene." And He says, "I've already done something. I've already done something. I've put my people, I've saved you. I've came and take residence in you. I dwell in you. I filled you with the Holy Spirit. I've already done something. Why don't you do something? Why don't you do something about it?" If your workplace is a vile, rotten place to work at, guess whose fault it is? Guess whose job it is? If your family, if your neighborhood needs Jesus, whose job is it? It is the branch's job. The branches bear fruit. It is our task. We are required to bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, we're not much of a branch. And He's going to talk about that in this parable. We're not bearing fruit, then we're not much of a branch. We have a requirement here. He says to abide in Him and to bear fruit. If those disciples didn't do their job and didn't bear fruit, then most likely you and I wouldn't be sitting here today. Would you agree with that statement? If the disciples, if those 11 men didn't do their job to bear fruit, there is a good opportunity, good chance, you and I may not be gathered here this morning. This is yes, this is no. Right? You'd agree with that statement. So, if the disciples didn't do their job, we wouldn't be gathered here. So, is it fair to say that if we don't do our job, that 50 years from now, if this world still stands, they may not be gathered here to preach the gospel? Isn't it extremely unfair to say if the disciples didn't do their job, we wouldn't be here? And not to say that if we don't do our job, the next generation or the next generation, they may not be here, they may not hear the gospel? Our job is to bear fruit. I'm confused sometimes on what Christians think we are here for. I've shared with you, we might have the opportunity now. Lane's been changing this scenery ever so often. I just had one of my brilliant ideas. That's what I was afraid I was going to hear. I've said this before, I had the opportunity. Lane, let's cover the front with mirrors. So y'all have to see what I see. And you will know that we are not here for our looks. We are not here to have church. We're here to worship. That's what the Bible says we're here for. It's why we're still here. And we worship so that others will hear that worship, see that worship, know we worship, and want to know Jesus. That's our purpose. Listen, we get involved in a lot of mission things. We get involved in, you know, we're taught, you know, I mentioned about go planting churches in that country I can't even pronounce. You know, this Tuesday there'll be probably, you know, there's a trailer load of food coming that's going to be distributed all over our county to people in need. If you know somebody in need, let me know. I'll help them get some of that food. And that's great. But as I've said before, I can train a monkey to stand beside the road, and when a car goes down, throw a can of beans in their car. You know, it doesn't take much to pass out food. It doesn't take much. You know, we can go out and we can help recovery after hurricanes, and that's great. It's a good mission field. There's plenty, and heaven knows there's been a lot of that to do lately. You know, we can do that, but if when we go build handicap ramps, all those projects and things, but if when we do that, we don't carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, we may as well be the Moose Lodge or someone else just doing a project. Jesus said, we are to bear fruit. It is a requirement of us. We are required to do that work. Jesus has done his work. Remember what he said on the cross? Three words. Remember what they were? It is finished. His work was finished. Now it's our work. We are, what did he say? Works plenty, the field has plenty to harvest, but the laborers are few. Listen, we got to take seriously our understanding of why we're here. Listen, if it wasn't for that purpose, the moment you got saved, he'd just take you on to glory. Right? He left you here after he saved you for something. To bear fruit. It is a requirement of God's people. If we are not bearing fruit, then something is wrong. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. The requirement for the branch. But look at this. He also tells us the resources for the branch. Look what he says again in verse 4. When he tells us there to abide or to remain in him, to stay in him. Listen, the only way the branch can bear fruit is to have the uninterrupted flow of life from the vine. I tell you something, and I'm going to break some of his heart. I was watching a television show one day, and they were talking about tomatoes. And they were saying how, you know, people, especially the ones you buy in the store, they pick them green because if they pick them right, by the time they get to the store and get to your house, they're ripe. So they pick them green and they expose them to the same gas that bananas give off when they decompose. I don't know. And that gas helps turn the tomato red. Now, did you hear what I said? It helps turn the tomato red. Do you know there's a difference in turning a tomato red and a tomato being ripe? You ever laid one up in the window? Doesn't get any more ripe. It actually begins to rot. That's what happens. It's not, once you take it off the vine, once you take it away from the mama, you know, once you pick it and you take it away from that life-giving vine, that fruit stops to live. It stops to grow. It stops to ripen. Same is true with what Jesus is saying here. If Christians are not bearing fruit, it is because they have become unattached from the vine. I'm not a gardener. Y'all know that. I've told you before about the only thing I can grow is dandelions. You know, I can grow a patch of dandelions. Bermuda grass. Got it. I can grow Bermuda grass on concrete. Now, I can't grow grass in my yard in perfectly good dirt, but I can grow Bermuda grass on concrete. I'm not a gardener, but I know this, that if the soil is right and the plant is right, the right conditions, it'll have fruit. That's just, I don't know if that's biology or agriculture, what that is, common sense. So if as believers we are not bearing fruit, there's nothing wrong with the vine. We know who the vine is. There's nothing wrong with the vine. So if there's no fruit out here on the end of the branch and the vine is fine, where's the problem? In the branch. Right? The branch is the problem. And it's only fair to assume if the vine is fine and at the end of the branch there is no fruit, then that there's something cutting off the flow of life from the vine to the end of the branch. If we're not bearing fruit as believers, something is cutting off the flow of life from the vine to your fruit. Now, the problem with that is, I may be able in some cases to tell you what it is, because I know most of you that well. But the truth of the matter is, if there's no fruit, you need to be spending some time on your face before God saying, I know it's not the vine. It must be the branch. Lord, what's cutting off the flow of life? What's cutting off the flow of life from you to me? Let me recommend a book to you, by the way, while I'm here. Again, I don't get commission. There's a great little book. Won't take you long to read. It's called The Trellis and the Vine. The Trellis and the Vine. Again, I don't get commission. Get it off Amazon. It's a great little book. It'll make you think through some of these things about what's happening to get the life from the vine to the branch. Let me tell you some of the things that'll cut off the life from the vine to the branch, that will cut off the fruit: a lack of prayer, a lack of Bible study, a lack of being in God's house, a lack of worship. Listen, let me clarify that. You can be in God's house and still be cut off from the life if you're not worshiping, if your heart's not right, and you're not focused on Him. Being in God, you can be in a garage and not be a car. You can be in a church and not be growing closer to God. So we need to understand that there are some resources there that are required of the branch. We have got to have that relationship back to the original vine to get that life to flow. And the Lord, and listen, let me tell you something else. I grew up, my great-grandma had a muscadine grapevine in her yard. And I used to walk down there. She just lived maybe as far as from here to the church to me, and I'd walk down there and I'd pick them off. And I'm not much of a farmer, but I know a little bit. And I know this, the vine can't make the branch do anything. Won't make the branch do anything. I've seen branches hanging on the grapevine with no grapes. The vine is fine, but the branch is failing. Are we abiding and relying and trusting, putting our confidence in the vine? But then I want you to see one last thing. I want you to see the responsibilities of the branch. The vine cannot keep the branch from becoming barren. Notice what the Bible says here. It tells us about how the Lord is the husbandman, the gardener. And he comes along and he cleans the vine. In verse 3, he says, "You're clean," but he says, "Remain in me just as the branch is unable to produce." He says to him, "If anyone doesn't remain like a branch that withers, they gather them and throw them on the fire." And the words that are used there, have you ever been around a grapevine? But if you know that a grapevine, it kind of grows and spreads out. And eventually, part of the vine ends up down on the ground. And that grapevine, when it's down on the ground like that, the pests, the bugs, it's just the dirt. The grapes will be filthy. When it rains, it'll splash mud up on the grapes. And you occasionally, if you want those grapes, you have to clean them off. And if you leave them laying there long enough, eventually they will get diseased, they will get rotten, and that disease will spread back up into the vine. So a gardener, a husbandman of the vineyard, when he sees that happening, he does one of two things. When it begins to happen, he comes along and he takes those grapes that are on the ground and he'll clean them off. And he'll take them and he might wire them or tie them up out of the dirt to keep them from getting that way again. But if they have become diseased, if they've already been down there and the bugs have gotten to them and they're too far gone, you know what he does to them? He cuts them off. Now that doesn't mean that they lose their salvation. It's not what he's saying. But it does say we lose our usefulness. We lose our usefulness. Folks, sin can make us unuseful in the kingdom of God. Sin can disqualify us from the service of God. We have all seen it. We have all seen preachers, teachers, others who, because of their failures, have disqualified themselves from service. We see in this passage the responsibility of the branch. It is our responsibility to look and to be sure that we are staying clean, that we are staying useful in the kingdom. We are being used by God, that we are presenting ourselves as a clean vessel. We are presenting ourselves useful, not as a dirty branch, but as a clean branch, one that can be used by God. And what we see here in this passage is, again, the loving patience of God trying to restore and to use that branch. Sometimes the branch just refuses to be useful. Sometimes the branch is diseased and it can't be used anymore. The million-dollar question this morning is, are we bearing fruit? It's not the gardener. Faye and I were talking yesterday about her grandmother, my great-grandmother, and some of her many stories that we can tell about the lady. One we didn't discuss, and I thought about it, kept running through my mind, and I never mentioned it. I believe, and I told y'all this before, I honestly believe my great-grandmother could have come up here and pinched a piece off of this artificial bush, whatever it's called. I believe she could have pinched a piece off of it, planted it, and it would have grown. You go in her house and she'd have a plant or something and you say, "Oh, that's a pretty plant. You want one?" She'd walk over and pinch a chunk off, stick it in a pile of dirt and send it home with you. Somehow it'd grow. Yeah. for a little while until we killed it. But, I mean, it was, you know, wasn't her fault. It's not the gardener's fault. God is the gardener. He can bring life to the deadest of trees. He did it with the fig tree in the Bible. It's not the vine. If there is no fruit, it is the branch. And he says, you and I are the branches. You and I are the branches. Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? Whatever that may look like, in your world, to my world, that may look totally different. In your world, because of the opportunities you have, because of the people you meet, you're going to bear a different kind of fruit than I do, just like an apple tree has a different kind of fruit on it than a peach tree. But they all bear fruit. They all bear fruit. You may bear fruit by singing. My task is by preaching. You may bear fruit by you have a heart for some type of ministry to help others to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every one of us should be bearing fruit. Every one of us should be producing fruit for the kingdom of God. If we're not, then here is the question we have to ask ourselves from there. If there is no fruit, then we can only assume you are not getting life from the vine. If you're bearing no fruit and you're getting no life from the vine, and you say this morning, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a believer. I know I accepted Christ into my heart. No question, no doubt, I know I've been saved. But truthfully, I'm not bearing fruit like I should. Then you need to question yourself, what's hindering the flow of life from the vine? Is it my prayer life? Am I hindering a hateful spirit towards somebody? Well, y'all thought, now I'm really about to go from preaching to meddling. Am I a gossip? Is my tongue out of control? Is my thought life out of control? What is it? I know I'm saved. I'm not bearing fruit. What is hindering the fruit? It's not the vine. What is cutting off the life between you and the vine? Only you can answer that. But then wherever you, whether you're in this room, whether you're watching this morning online, we have people from around the world watch online, listen online. Wherever you are, I want you to know something. You got to ask yourself this question. Maybe the reason you're not bearing fruit for the Lord is because you're not attached to the vine. See, I asked a moment ago, I said, you know Christ, but you're not bearing fruit. But there's another reason you may not be bearing fruit. And that is that you don't know Him personally. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ into your heart, you've never asked Him into your life personally, you've never asked Him to forgive you for your sins, online in this room, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Would you come and let me show you from God's Word how you can know Him personally? how you can know Him as your Savior. If you're online, send us a text, send us an email, call. We'll talk you through it, how you can know Jesus. The question this morning is there any fruit? Is there any fruit? You know, some people have the ability to walk out into a field and see a tree, and they can just look at that tree and say, well, that's an oak tree. Or that's a maple tree. Some people can look at the wood after the tree is cut down and say, well, that's oak wood. That's maple wood. I can't do that. You put me in an orchard, and I don't know if it's an apple orchard or a peach orchard. I got to go over and look at the tree and see what kind of fruit's on the tree. And then I can tell you, this is an apple tree. This is a peach tree. I can tell you then when I see the fruit on the tree. Is there any fruit on our tree? Can the world, can our family, can our friends, can our co-workers walk up and say, that's a Christian tree right there. That's somebody that loves God. I can tell by the fruit. If not, we need to fix it. We need to fix it today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your word, your promise that you are the vine. God, you provide us life, life everlasting, life abundant. God, there are people in this room today who are enjoying that life, who are living in that life. God, who need to stop this morning and praise you and thank you for providing them that life. But God, then there are some here this morning who know you. God, the truth is they're not bearing much fruit. The fruit is withered. Fruit is scarce. God, as believers, let us understand we're required to bear fruit. But Lord, most of all, for the one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, the one listening online that doesn't know Jesus, Lord, that today would be the day. This would be the hour. God, that they would get connected to the vine. That they would get connected to God. That they would accept Him as their Savior. God, we pray that you'll stir in this building, stir through the internet, wherever people are listening. God, that your Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way. And we'll give you the honor for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we stand together. You want to come and kneel? Want to kneel right where you are? Lord, help me to bear fruit. Lord, let people see in me the fruit of Jesus Christ. That there be no doubt, no question whose I am. You don't know Him personally. You don't know Him as your Savior. Today is the day. Young or old, teenager, whoever you are, do you know Christ? Do you know Him today? Don't leave here without Jesus. All right. Appreciate your attention this morning. Again, continue to pray for Archie. I got a text just before we started that he was still sick. And so remember him. Again, thank Lane and Nancy for swapping around and stepping up for us this morning at the last minute. And so remember the offering buckets at the front door. All right. CD, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
So hard to be for everything to be